Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Our lesson this morning is the 84th Psalm. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even as the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in thy house, ever singing thy praise. Blessed are the men whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows honor and favor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in thee. Let us pray. The other day, I did something I had not done for a long time. I read from the Old Testament. And it's remarkable that we find there abundant spiritual feasts. Surely the psalm read this morning is precisely this. It is a lesson in what God's house means to the children of God. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. These are the words of a man who has learned the meaning of the worship of God in his temple. Perhaps the writer of this psalm had returned from a service of praise at Jerusalem. Possibly he was far away from his spiritual altar and longed once more to join the festal throng at the temple. What is most important is not the circumstances surrounding his words, but the reality of his words. They tell what the house of God in God's city means to the faithful. God loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things of thee are spoken, O city of God. From the psalmist, we learn, first of all, that the house of God teaches us where we belong. My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord. And words follow closely upon these, my heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. God is real to the psalmist in his tabernacle and among God's people. When the psalmist meets God in the temple, he meets also his neighbor. And when he meets his neighbor, he meets God. In God's house, the psalmist is at home. How well Walter Rauschenbusch expressed the reality of the spiritual life when he wrote, "When I enter into God, all life has a meaning. Without asking, I know. When I am in him, I am in the kingdom of God and in the fatherland of my soul." It is in God's house of worship that the man of faith learns that he belongs. We belong together, God, neighbor, and I. And the worship of God sets forth this reality known only through the grace of God. When we are where we belong, we know that we belong to God and to each other. If the ancient pilgrims marched together to Zion because of a covenant in a desert, what shall those pilgrims do because of a covenant without a city wall where our dear Lord was crucified who died to save us all? The crucified and risen Lord is the basis and the goal of our community, and because of his sacrifice, we are able to declare with the reality unknown to the psalmist, how lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. We belong together in the worship of God in his house. We will never belong to one another unless we belong to God. And we belong to each other because we belong to Christ. When we put ourselves where we belong, we learn that we belong. My fervent prayer as we begin a new year together is that we will learn that we belong in a community of worship and are called to cry with the psalmist, "My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his touching little book on the church, wrote, "It is easily forgotten that the fellowship of Christian brethren is a gift of grace, a gift of the kingdom of God that any day may be taken from us. Therefore, let him who until now has had the privilege of living a common Christian life with other Christians praise God's grace from the bottom of his heart. Let him thank God on his knees and declare it is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with Christian brethren." The psalmist teaches us that we who are brethren, because we have sensed God's grace, belong in his house, singing for joy to the living God with the family of God. Even as the swallows find a nesting place in the providence of God, so the man of God finds his abiding place at the altar of God. The psalmist teaches us in our lesson today also that in God's house we learn what is ours. In the fellowship of the faithful and in the temple, the man of faith finds strength for pilgrimage. "Blessed are the men whose strength is in thee. They go from strength to strength." Through the reality of God known in worship, men can turn weakness into strength and hardship into opportunity. The bleak places of life hold no despondency for pilgrims who, in the words of Arthur Weiser, are carried along as if they had invisible wings, so that the way of faith becomes a walking on high mountains, leading from one peak to another. The psalmist teaches us that the God who meets us at his altar leads us to it. And the strength for the journey to heaven's gate comes from the Lord of hosts, our King and God. Once more, we who here today possess the vitality that is known through the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can claim the word of Paul as our own: "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And our praise should exceed the psalmist in God's house and in worship with the faithful. Men find strength for the journey. This last spring, I visited the Great Locks at Muscle Shoals, Alabama. While there, I observed how a large barge covered with steel was locked into position in one of the locks. Massive gates were drawn and tons of water rushed beneath it. Slowly and quietly, the barge began to rise. And after a while, on an entirely different level, It made its journey up the river. It was placed on a new level because it was locked into position so that it could receive a lift it could not give itself. In worship, we lock ourselves into position so that we will be able to receive the quiet strength of God. Life is full of desert places like the Valley of Baca. Dry and barren land it was that had to be crossed before Zion could be seen gleaming in the distance. Yes, life is full of wastelands, spiritual wastelands, and there seems to be no water at times to soothe a parched tongue and no rain to make flowers grow. But, says the psalmist, those who possess God's strength go through the Valley of Baca and make it a place of springs. Dr. Harold Bosley, pastor of the First Methodist Church in Evanston, Illinois, told of a meeting in a Negro church which he attended during his student days at the University of Chicago during the Depression. Clarence Darrow was one of the featured speakers. So was Charles Gilkey, then dean of the chapel at the University of Chicago. There were several others who spoke. And in the midst of his oration, Darrow satirically asked the Negroes who were at the meeting, "What is it that you have to sing about when you have been so mistreated?" And Bosley said, one of the Negro women in the congregation replied, "We've got Jesus to sing about." God's pilgrims go through the Valley of Baca and make it a place of spring. And not only is strength given for the pilgrimage, there is the gift of direction and vision. Blessed are the men in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. The hearts of men are not very large, but all kinds of highways lead away from them. The psalmist praises the man whose heart makes journey to Zion. The man who turns to worship God is the man who returns to worship God. He finds at God's altar the direction to the heavenly Zion, and he nurtures his experience because the God of gods will be seen in Zion. We who are gathered here this morning may need some road work done on our roads to Zion. We may need the road builder to repair with his strong and loving hands those paths in our hearts that lead to his throne. We need the direction and vision of his will to make them the kinds of roads that bring us with life transformed into the endless service of praise and thanksgiving of God. Let us not despair this morning if our roads do not all lead to Zion. Let us come to his house, and perhaps we will learn that he has brought us here and has quietly set us upon the way of unbounded joy and unspeakable praise to God the Father. We need only remember that none need enter here who knows no need. The psalmist teaches us, last of all, whose we are. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man who trusts in thee. Behold our shield, O God. Look upon the face of thy anointed. How deep is the reality of God to the psalmist? A day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. God is so real to him that he prefers to be just outside the house of God than to be inside the house of wickedness. Life with men in the world cannot be compared with life with God in his temple. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. The Lord knows that the faithful are his. The Lord God is a sun and shield, he says. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. And the faithful know that they are God's.
What will you do, someone asked Luther, if the Duke, your protector, should no longer harbor you? He replied, I shall take my shelter under the broad shield of Almighty God. This is the kind of faith to which the psalmist invites us. In God's house, we learn to walk uprightly before Him and our neighbor. At the altar of God, we learn that the God to whom we belong blesses those who walk uprightly, and to walk uprightly is to honor God and to love one another. Such lessons did we learn from the psalmist. As we begin a year of study together, let it be to a year of worship together. As we exercise the mind, let us exercise to the heart. As we enthrone Christ in our minds, let us place Him too on the altar of our hearts. Let us come often to this place and make it our Zion. Let us come not because of our worthiness, but because of our unworthiness. Let us come not because we're spiritually rich, but because we're spiritually poor. Let us come not because of our words, but because of His word. Let us come because of the great gift of Christ, who is our gospel. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. May God mercifully grant to you and me this year that as we meet in chapel, we shall hear church bells, because the rope is pulled by the hand of God. Let us pray. O God, our Father, who has blessed our coming in, bless our going forth, that though we leave thy house, we may not leave thee, through Christ our Lord.